shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Welcome, Mary. Welcome. What has it happened?
It always happens.
And here we go again with this.
That's all right.
Jeez. I think maybe tomorrow we're going to have this thing fixed. So Nick is coming to the rescue anyway. Well, the winds have changed, you know, for sure. Okay, Tony, say something.
You know. Best test one. Oh, there you go. That's beautiful. See, Nick's got the magic touch.
How is it you can just do that?
I think it's, like I said, I think it's a short somewhere. It's probably the mic or something.
All right, okay.
Well, as the important people that have told me this, the experts know.
Well, maybe tomorrow we'll
look
have
at
it,
Nick.
Okay. Well, he's got
the touch. Thank you.
He's got the touch. Anyway, the winds have changed. Unbelievable, the storm that's...
Yeah.
I mean, Harvey was bad, and that's going to take, from what I've been reading and all that, it's going to take months and months and months, maybe even years to
now
clean that.
Florida, it's supposed to hit Saturday, right? Or is it in the process?
Our Frank, the operation director here at the parish, he's from Miami.
Right.
His mother is his whole family is down there.
Oh.
And he was saying that their expected landfall on Sunday morning. But I thought I heard Saturday as well.
It keeps changing. That's why. And there is a possibility that they can. I guess it's they're preparing.
But this is massive. I mean, it's going to cover the... just about the whole of Florida. So I received an email from one of my sisters, and she said, you know, they're just worried about this this hurricane. And I thought, well, but you're on the panhandle, which is on the opposite side. It's just, you know, actually kitty corner from Miami, but north. But these things are rather unpredictable. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that, because I guess you can, it seems more and more with technology, they're able to kind of more or less track the movement of the hurricane, but they are unpredictable, because something, you know, it could go across Florida, although they say that it's so massive it's going to cover the whole, practically the whole state, move up into possibly into Georgia and South Carolina. That's what I was just listening to. But it could also cross over Florida into the Gulf, and then only God knows which way it's going to go from there. Wow. But so everybody down there is, where do you go? Mm-hmm. Where do you go? So Frank was telling me that his mother, she's in her 80s, and they live right in Miami. His family's right in Miami. He's got she's got cousins. I guess he's got aunts or second cousins or whatever you call that, you know, in Palm Beach. But that's that's not an you're not escaping the hurricane to go there. You've almost it seems like you've almost got to get out of Florida. It seems evacuate the entire state. Who knows?
See, that's interesting. How do you do that?
Where do you go? But he was telling me that his daughter, her husband's a police officer, and so they have a shelter that's built for, because they have to continue to they've got to continue to work.
Right.
But they've got, I guess they, the police officers and their families and all that have a place where they can go. It's built specifically to withstand, you know, a hurricane, any kind of hurricane, but something even of this magnitude. Mm-hmm. But it's, wow, the winds have changed, you know, so... let's see. Nick said they made it out on Tuesday from Florida as well. So his parents were just down there.
Wow.
Because of they have a home down there? Is that right? Yeah. So they go there for the I guess for winter or whatever. But anyway, so that's they're back. I'm assuming they're back in Chicago. Yeah, that was a wise thing to do. So anyway, we pray for them as we've been praying for the. The victims of Hurricane Harvey. Yeah, Harvey. I thought they were all women's names at one time, weren't they?
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, no, it's
I know a Harry. It's probably like a hurricane as it is.
Harvey and Irma. And then Jose is coming after that, from what I understand. So, but no, boy, no, this is pretty bad. The islands have been devastated. Was it St. Mark's, the Virgin Islands?
I've heard this.
Yeah, Puerto Rico. Frank was telling me this morning that Puerto Rico, while it didn't get the, I guess it was on the outskirts of the wind, but that they expect that the electricity is going to be out for many months. I figure that out. I don't understand that, but you know, wow. So anyway. Yes, the winds have changed. We certainly pray for everybody that's in the path of that. They say it's unprecedented. One of the biggest ever. I heard it was the biggest ever.
Yeah. Well, the rainfall, I think, with Harvey was record breaking.
That was record breaking. Yeah. But this, as far as the magnitude, mm-hmm. the size of this hurricane. But anyways, we're monitoring that as well and. We'll be, you know, as I say, praying for everybody there. So how are you doing? Aren't you glad you're in Chicago?
Yeah.
Kind of nice to be up in Chicago. I was thinking about that this morning, you know. That really, what do we have to worry about? Mm-hmm. You know, we
get tornadoes, so.
Well, in the city,
not in the city, but I don't. Somebody was telling me that it's not like it can't happen. I mean, with the buildings, I think that's kind of what shields it. But I think if something gets strong enough, we could have a.
In Plainfield, I know they had a bad, you know, the tornado not too long ago, some years ago. I remember that was rather devastating. But the city itself, I don't know. I don't recall that there's ever been a tornado. We have blizzards from time to time, you know. So. But they.
But then, if you see these movies, I forget. I don't know what they're called. I can't remember. Superstorm, where it's everything is gonna, you know, get bigger and bigger by the end.
Apocalyptic.
Yeah, apocalyptic. So
I said that's what it seems like. This hurricane that's going into.
Yeah, maybe.
It seems very apocalyptic. That's a word I use.
It's experimental. I mean, I can't. I seem to shudder when people think, "Oh, well, you know, this is global warming, or this is this, or that, that."
Yeah,
you don't really. There's no. This thing just happens. It's like a.
It's happened before. Right. It's Hurricane Andrew was 1993, I think. Right. And in fact, Frank was. They lost part of their house in that. I think they had to rebuild. Oh. He was telling me this morning, but that was a Category 5, or hurricane, and I remember that, but completely wiped out an entire town. A homestead, I believe, was completely wiped out. And he describes how his family, by God's grace, you know, they put themselves in the bathroom. Wow. They were going to go somewhere else in the house, but they chose to put themselves rather than but the house when they left, you know, after it was the roof was part of the roof was gone, and if they had gone to this other room, they would have been in it. Would have been, they could have been gone as well. We've been in. We're on the panhandle. My family's on the panhandle, and I remember as kids, we would go in the hallway, the corridor, the hallway, and I recall that we put sofas upside down, kind of like teepees, you know, like little tents, and we would stay under that. I remember doing that a couple of times, but we're not right on the coast. Panama City is on the coast, you know. We're on the beach, but the house is. The coast to the bay, and it's only maybe at most a 30-minute walk. So I mean, the whole city is built along the bay, but you know, this is something that they deal with, but to this magnitude, you know, this is really apocalyptic. You know, this is just apocalyptic. Well, we pray that, you know, the winds subside. And but the thing is, it hasn't. Even as it's, from what I understand, even as it is, because anytime they, and I don't know anything about this, to be honest. You know, I mean, when I say I don't know, I mean, this is what I read, this is what I hear, this is what I've experienced, actually. You know, as once the hurricane hits the landmass, the winds began almost immediately to subside. Then you got to deal with, of course, the torrential rain and the tornadoes that spin out of these things. That's what causes a lot of the problems, a lot of the damage. I forget, you know, what we talked about. I'm sorry to say this, but I live from moment to moment, you know. I just live from one moment to the next. And I've got all sorts of notes. I do want to, do you remember what we talked about the other day?
Actually, I don't. So, but anything will do.
Anything will do. Go back to the readings on Sunday. You know, let me just say this. I was in Rochester yesterday, and I was, you know, we had the, I think we must have talked about the healing mass that we had.
Right. Man.
So I've been, that's been in my mind because I realize the need that is out there. And of course, yesterday I was in Rochester all day. It was one of the first, by the way, the first time I ever flew in and flew out of a place on the same day.
Wow.
It's like an early flight, flew in on a plane. Of course, I didn't fly myself. I mean, I
not
flew.
This time. Not this time. Right?
I'm not flying high. But I flew in the morning. Little tiny plane. I realized, because I wondered, I thought, well, you know, there was, at some point they started having these bigger planes. When I say big planes, they're still small planes, but they've got two seats on one side and two seats on the other. Now, I figured it out, it must be the time of year. Now that we're in September, it must change, because I guess the traffic must subside. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not as many people flying, but... So the plane there's like these one-seater, you know, you got one seat next to a window, and then there's actually two seats on the other side. But I flew in early in the morning and flew back in the evening. So I spent the whole day basically in the hospital, and it gave me a lot of chance, a lot of opportunity just to sit down and reflect on, as I just watch people, you know. I'm a people watcher anyway. Mm-hmm. I like to watch people, but I was thinking, you know, how nobody is spared. And you know what was interesting is that, so I was, because I had three different appointments, and so one was at one time, and then I had to wait a few hours for another appointment, and then finally a couple of hours for the final appointment, which was basically the treatment. Mm-hmm. And but anyway, so in between, you know, I stayed there. But I went to the different, you know, there's a, like this, it's a big hospital. It's the Mayo Clinic, so it's a big hospital. And by the way, you know, that was all started by these Franciscan sisters and the Mayo brothers, who were doctors. It all started from, I think it was 1896, or maybe it was earlier than that. It was because of this, speaking of tornadoes, there was this big tornado that went through Rochester and just called unbelievable devastation and the loss of a lot of lives. And it was, at that, that the sisters, the Franciscan sisters, and these doctors came together and decided they would build this hospital, or they began, because they would certainly, they were ministering, serving the wounded, the people that had been affected by this tornado. So they built this this hospital that's really world renowned, and it's got you know, they've got different, I guess you'd call them satellite hospitals, one in Jacksonville, and I think in California, in different parts of the country, and maybe other parts of the world, I'm not sure. But it's world-renowned, and there's people come from all over the world to this hospital. So there's it's huge. It's mm-hmm. It started, I think it was just called St. Mary's, and then it's the whole thing is the Mayo Clinic. And you've got the Methodist Hospital. St. Mary's was the first, the Gonda Building, and all that. But anyway, it's huge. It's huge. I don't think it's as big as the Northwestern here, because that's a huge mm-hmm. hospital here in Chicago downtown. I mean, that goes for blocks and blocks and blocks. It seems, and they keep building there. It's really quite impressive here in Chicago. Well, Chicago has so many hospitals anyway, but. And the question, you know, people have asked, why do you go to Rochester? Because I'm under a clinical trial, so I have to go there because I'm like a guinea pig. You know, they're studying this treatment. I mean, thank God things are going pretty good. So I say thank God for that, and thank God for the doctors and the nurses and the scientists and. It's just amazing, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's really amazing, God's how people co-create. You know, we share in the creative energy, the creative power of God. And I tell you, I think I've said this before, but even with the sophistication of technology, you'd think that it would bring us to believe all the more in God, because. You know, God has given us this knowledge, these gifts. You know, what draws somebody to give their life to just say the study of the heart, just the study of the heart. Or there's a little museum in the hospital where you can see the how this little hospital, you know, grew to be this world-renowned hospital where they, you know, just the different things they were able to do. I'm certainly not a doctor, but you know what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Just the human body is so intricate, and everything is so connected and related, and all that. And how do you do a certain surgery where you have to stop the heart? And they discovered that actually they were able mm-hmm. to. They discovered that there, you know, I may be saying this wrong because I'm just not astute mm-hmm. when it comes to those things, but so the heart has to be either taken out of the body. I guess you can't stop the heart, but mm-hmm. but to take it out of the body, keep it pumping.
Wow.
While it's just amazing. But there's all kinds of things that mm-hmm. they do. I mean, it's amazing. But I say, you know, this is, you know, how we participate in the creative, I mean, there's the prime creator, the first cause of all things, right? God is the God is creator, but he brings his body, as we speak of the what was established in the new covenant, Christ, God in the flesh, who establishes the church, the mystical body, but how we share in God's, by God's choice, right? We share in that creative energy, that creative power, and so that we're constantly creating. Now there's the, you know, you take the internet or technology, the internet and all this stuff. There's also this horrible potential for evil, right? So it, you know, these things we can create for good, or we can create for evil, or take some good creation and pervert it so that it becomes used for destructive, diabolical purposes. We would say that because we're talking about this major spiritual battle that has taken grip of the world from the very beginning. This is in the spiritual battle. But anyway, that's I'm perhaps deviating, but it is. But I'm raising the question: how can? I'll tell you why this comes to my mind, because I read yesterday. Well, there's a couple of things I was going to say, but this led me into this other thought that today, among the whites, Caucasian, call it that. Whites, all of a sudden we're back. Isn't this amazing how we're back into this?
Back to the beginning.
I mean, black, brown, red, yellow, white, you know, Black Lives Matters, white supremacists. I thought this stuff was over. I really did. I thought it was over. And now it seems to be, you know, we're back into this, this tension or this conflict or this, and yet, I was thinking about this on a plane as I was coming back, because we had Muslims, the flight attendant was African American, all kinds of people, you know, I'll call it the Catholicity of humanity, not in a religious sense, but the universality of humanity represented right there on that plane. And everybody, you know, you didn't feel any kind of distinctions or any kind of prejudicial sentiments and all that. And most of the places I go, that's what I experience. And in fact, it's just that you keep hearing this stuff on the news and you watch these the protests or the marches or the violence here or there or whatever. And it's a reality. Unfortunately, it's true. But on a day-to-day basis, do we really experience it? I can't say that I do. But anyway, help me here. Tony, what was I going to... Oh, so, so this study came out that the whites... All of a sudden, okay, now this focuses on the white person. God forbid that you're a white man today, you know. I mean, really, as we are, you know.
And kind of define that. That's what I...
What's that?
What is a white man?
Well, a good question, I guess. I don't know, you know.
Define white.
I'll tell you, when I came to St. Stan's and I was working with the Latino, Hispanic, mostly Mexican people, because we were about 85%, you know, I felt so sickly, and you know, I thought, geez, I was jealous of the pigment of their skin, you know, because they had color, dark and beautiful, you know, and I felt like this pale, white, sickly looking person up against these people that. The skin pigment just seems so. Well, I mean, white people spend hours under the sun, right, trying to darken their skin. So, I don't know. Anyway, I just bring that up because what's happened to us today. But anyway, so this to get to the point, that today 43%. I thought that I may have the numbers skewed just a little bit. But 43% of white Americans claim to be Christian, 43%, as contrasted with a decade ago, 10 years ago, I think it was 10 years ago, where 88% identified themselves, whites identified themselves as Christians. So what has happened, you know, in 10 years or in 20 years, that we would go from 88%, let's say, to 43%, you know. The power of, the power of the powers and principalities, the narratives have changed. Media, exposure to all kinds of so many things that that militate against or distort or pervert the faith, what's going on in our systems of education, you know, where Christianity is, Judeo-Christianity is really been pushed to the fringes of society. Or even I was listening to a dialogue on the radio, or it was a series of dialogues where people were basically uncomfortable with the supernatural, with mystery, the supernatural. But so that, so I go back and I say, but, you know, you, I for myself, you know, even as I, I'll go back to the Rochester, to the Mayo Clinic, but one thing was, a couple of times I walked to this museum and I marvel at how the human person has this this capability, these gifts, to do such wonderful things. You know, I mean, just the city itself. City is a, I love. That's why I love the city, because I love to reflect and to think about, you know, what it takes to build these high rises and how to make a city work. You know, from cleaning the trash from the streets to transporting people to what it takes in a time of crisis, as we've seen, as we're watching in Texas, as we're going to see in Florida, as contrasted perhaps with other places where there isn't that the sophistication or the resources, perhaps. We're certainly a blessed nation, but those resources are shared. They're shared. And the world comes together in crisis. Seems to me that would be a point of a focus to, in some ways, disarm these divisive powers that are out there that seem to have recreated. And is this fake news? You know, they hear this, all this fake news, or fomenting divisiveness or divisiveness, however you say that. I always say divisive, but I hear people say divisive. So that all of a sudden there's this angst, you know, between, okay, the whites and the blacks and the browns and the Latino, the Asian, whatever it might be. I don't know. I'm maybe just all over the place today, but the bottom line is this, and we'll take a break. I haven't given you a chance to even respond. I'm not asking a question, am I? You can't. You just can't.
Yeah.
That's the problem, you see.
Right.
You just have to keep quiet there. Maybe you get you'll get that touch, you know, so you can figure out how to. It's not working, Tony. But being all day in the hospital and watching people. Now, this is in very various parts of the hospital, but I spend a lot of time in the parlor where people are coming and going. And the sick. You know, I think this is one of the things God has allowed me this experience, a rather blessed experience, to step into this world of the sick. I'm so blessed because I don't feel sick. You know, it's just that they say, you've got this, and we've got to get it out of your body. So, okay, you know. In the beginning, yes, that was it was rather traumatic because it was major surgery and chemotherapy. But now I'm under this other experimental stuff, so it's a little bit easier. But just watching, I consider, how blessed I am because I see people that are really, really, really debilitated, and all ages and all sizes of people and all races, everybody, nobody is going to be spared this. But what was interesting to me were the baby boomers, and I'm one of them, right? But we're getting older, and I was just thinking about how it seems to me that we somehow thought, and maybe every generation, I don't think this is the case, because I think some people spend their whole lives in poverty, precarious situations where the threat of war or natural disaster or poverty is kind of a perpetual thing that you live with, and you learn to live with that. But we have been in many ways really spared all that, a lot of those things. And so what was interesting was the baby boomers, who are no longer teenagers, but sometimes the impression is, and I'm making a judgment, I realize, but sometimes it seems that we are perpetuating a certain kind of adolescent behavior, at least in appearance or in attitude, because it was strange looking at all the old people now who are baby boomers, and they're now old people with, you know, men with long ponytails, and, you know, it's almost like a whole group of people that have come out of that era of the 1960s and 70s and continue to dress and to look like, you know, it's kind of like the artists of the time, right? You know more about this than I do, because I think you were very much attuned to the...
I think I know what you're saying.
You know what? Only you can't
only
say
I just
anything.
Can't speak.
You can't speak. Well, you know what? Let's just take a break and see if... I don't know. Nick, can you come to the rescue? I mean, what...
Yeah.
He can't
it just
anything.
Goes on and off. Okay. I'm good now.
Okay. He's upset there. I can see that. Yeah. So, all right. We'll take a break. Can we take a break? We should take a break. We'll be right back. And maybe... you know, Tony, maybe you should switch over to that other...
Yeah, I was
microphone.
Thinking.
Why don't you do that? It's not going to work?
Yeah.
We can try it. Well, we'll see. Okay. I can't read lips, and Nick's talking to me from over there. So
that's good.
Exactly. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony, listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Hurricane Harvey has wreaked unprecedented devastation in Texas. You can help by offering your prayers and material support. Visit CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org. And click on Disaster Operations to make your secure donation. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at WindsOfChangeShow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing. In 1867, Andrew Johnson was president of the United States, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years with a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m., held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 64 West Jackson. Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us.
Can you hear me now?
Ooh, I can hear
sounds
you.
Sounds good.
It sounds good. What'd you do? What did you do there?
I just smacked it around a little bit.
So do you get an idea as to what I'm talking about here? Yeah. I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah. Especially when you talk about adolescence and how this generation is.
I mean, I'm making a judgment. I know that.
It's
but I mean, it's just
more than judgment. It's just, you see it. I mean.
But it's because we've had it pretty easy. We really have had it easy. There's just no way around that. We've been blessed. In that sense, we've been really blessed.
You see, I think about that when Father Coise is on and we talk about the Civil War. And
sure.
You know, think about even, you know, the American War. I mean, just it's, you see that.
Yeah.
Or it's not the American War. Then we have
American Revolution.
American Revolution. You think about, you go back and you see how people, you learn it and you say it too. You stay in the story, but everybody has that story. And you're right. It's years have been gone, and
have we forgotten the story? You know, and
I think we have.
I think this is the
today they're trying to change.
But that's
that
exactly
story.
That's exactly because one of the beauties of Father Coise is that he's a history buff.
Yeah, he loves.
And so he loves history, and we've got that. We dangers of our day. Truly believe it. I think even as we see what's happening right now in the society, in the culture, how do you define the culture even, you know? But this movement to remove all these statues,
yeah,
you know. I just you know that. In fact, I'll tell you, the other day I was going to talk about this, and maybe I didn't, but you know, if we're going to be really scrupulous about, let's say, historical characters who have made great impact into the ongoing progression or evolution, or let's say, as I started by talking about this that we co-create, you know, that we've been given this capacity, this gift, the knowledge, the skills to create, you know, to share in God's creative energy, His creative power, which is a beautiful thing. The you know, God so bound to His people, but the only perfection is God, and so even as we look at, all you have to do is look at the church, and you know it's yes, we say the Holy Church is in heaven, the church in its perfection, God in the communion of saints, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinitarian God, one God in three persons, but the communion of saints, God's not an entity unto Himself, but He's in relationship, and the God of Judeo-Christians is a God who is condescended, who has walked among us. He's been with us. He remains with us. He speaks to us. Again, this idea that people today have problems with the supernatural or the mysteriousness of God, but this is the mystery is a beautiful thing, because it for myself at least, you know, and I think for certainly in the church, it allows us this great freedom. We don't have to have all the answers. And we can continue to deepen our understanding of this mystery that God is, and it becomes all the more mysterious, but beautifully mysterious. I mean, when Jesus says, be like the little children, be open to wonder at the mystery, the marvel of God. But that's how God is working in and through His own creation, and has given the human person, who remains always free. That's why, unfortunately, the dark and the diabolical, the destructive forces, the distortions and the perversions seep in, sometimes in little ways, sometimes in big ways. But we have to live in that tension, because good prevails. Mm-hmm. Good prevails. Now, you know, so I'm just looking at Judeo-Christianity, but let's just look at the Old Testament, you know, the story that was, because no other religion has this, has a written history. But you take Abraham, Jacob, Moses, David, from the Old Testament, just those men. There's the women as well. There are the women as well. But Peter and Paul, you know, great, we'd call them the great patriarchs of the Judeo-Christian history, but they all had their flaws. They all had their flaws. Abraham, he committed adultery with Hagar, right? Mm-hmm. Jacob, he lied. He deceived his, together with his mother. He defrauded Esau from his birthright. Moses, how did his whole? I mean, he murdered. He killed. He murdered one of the Egyptians. I mean, was it a justifiable murder? No, it wasn't. But he was out of love for the Hebrews who were slaves. David, the great king, Jesus comes from the lineage of David. David was an adulterer and a murderer. I mean, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, right?
Mm-hmm.
And killed Uriah. Peter denied Jesus. Paul was a persecutor of the Christians, participated in conspired and participated in the death of Christians, the first martyrs, you know, and yet God continued to work through these people. So if we only focus on that, you know, every human person is flawed. Every human person. See, the beauty of the faith is that God is perfection, and God condescends, and He walks among a free people. A people who are, as I was going to say, as I always say, it's not that I say it, but Scripture says it, we hold this treasure, this gift of faith, in earthen vessels. We're made of clay feet, you know. Now, Jesus certainly said, woe to those who commit scandal, and He uses very, very strong word to say that anybody who leads a little one astray, the innocent astray, better that a millstone be put around their neck, they be thrown in the sea and drowned. He doesn't literally mean that, but he's making a very strong point, you know, about the need to live a righteous, virtuous life, a principled life grounded in a morality that he's laid out for us, right? Beginning mm-hmm. with the Ten Commandments, but so you just look at the history of Judeo-Christianity, it's not without flaws,
right.
but to not see that, in spite of that, the great good that has come from this enterprise, it's a holy enterprise, God who remains with and continues to work through, and God who is a reconciling God, who you know, if we're repentant, if we seek forgiveness, if we humble ourselves, he can, as Jesus said, I bring good out of evil, light out of darkness. So what's happening today is, you know, so you take it into the civil society, which was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, but this wanting to eradicate from our history important personages, important persons who were flawed, but nonetheless helped to build this nation that is a work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. So this this revisionist, they call it, I think, a revisionist history, to rewrite the history and to, or maybe to, to in the rewriting of this history, to take and Father Coyes would be great at this. And I'm assuming he speaks about this, mm-hmm. but to look at a flawed man like, let's say, George Washington, who was also a highly virtuous man, a man of great principle, a man of God, but flawed nonetheless. Mm-hmm. Although he never told a lie, did he? Right? I mean, we always. he did cut down the cherry tree, and he admitted to that, right. didn't he? But you know what I'm saying?
It's,
to make teeth. Is that what?
He had wooden teeth. I don't know. Jerry wouldn't be good with this.
She would say that. Yeah. God rest her soul.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? It's this is a weird time we're living in. It's a, don't you think?
Well, I really do believe that there's an effort to just eliminate our past. I mean, to just forget it or to change it and to say this, that, and the other thing. And I think even today with, you know, your internet and just people talking all the time, there's always an opinion about many things. But, you know, to change facts, to change things that have already been established, I just don't see, any kind of purpose, any kind of good coming out of that.
Or to refuse to focus mm-hmm. on and acknowledge the good that far outweighs the evil. How we, I'm not going to go into the Civil War, because this all that is very complicated, by the way. The more, that's why, you know, God bless Father Coys, because for me, even for instance, I was thinking about this morning, by the way, to speak about DACA, the Dreamers. I have a soft spot in my heart for the Dreamers, because I happen to work with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to understand, do we all have the answers at this point? Yeah. You know, because it's, I don't think that there's this malicious, maliciousness, that we're being malicious. I think people are trying to figure out, how do we safeguard and protect the whole of God's people, upholding, adhering to law, the necessity of law, that there is a necessity for borders and for faith and for morality and law. I mean, we started to talk about this the other day, and I'm... because we want to talk about an inclusive society that doesn't exclude anybody. We don't want to exclude anybody. I mean, our nation is a nation of immigrants. There's no, we all know that. And, hardworking people who built... Is there a door open there?
No, it's just that people are doing...
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so we got we got all kinds of distractions today.
They forget that we're on.
I guess they do. They don't care, you know. Yeah. They don't care. But in any case, the readings coming up this Sunday are about, you know, for instance, I mentioned this the other day, but Ezekiel is given the charge to safeguard or to correct, to provide a fraternal correction to the people of the covenant so as to safeguard and protect the proper order and the people collectively speaking can and indeed that they adhere to the laws of God, because God has a purpose in mind. He's bringing these people somewhere, to someone. But thank you. Talk about fraternal correction, you know. So you had to go and
I don't think
were you nice to the people?
Yeah, I think the lady was actually really shocked that we were.
Because
I'm sure it's volunteers and they don't know.
Sure, exactly, yeah. So if people out there listening probably don't understand, we're right next to the soup kitchen, and there's all this commotion going on right behind us and a lot of noise. I don't know if it's coming through the microphone or not, but...
Just ignore that.
Just, you know. So talk about distraction. Life is full of distraction. So the point is that, you know, we have to... Also, Jesus himself is very strong about this too, you know, that fraternal correction and how do we safeguard and protect the unity, peace, harmony within this body, we'll call it the mystical body, the church, the nation, the family. Mm-hmm. As I was saying, parents would understand this because, of course, they've got to, you know, they've got the responsibility, the charge of raising these children to be good citizens of the land. Now, this probably doesn't relate to the I mentioned DACA because I find it, because as I'm listening to, because there's more to what's going on. Right. We don't have all the answers.
That is the thing. There's just so much going on. And, you know, and I think you're thinking about correction. I think people today don't want to be corrected. And in correction, people always want what they want. You know, you have one group that wants to give to people because they're, how do you say, they're just good people. And then there's people that, you know, whatever they want to. Somebody told me a long time ago, nothing is ever free. And that is, people don't understand that. I mean, everybody wants something free. And even when you're given something free, it's never free. Somebody had to pay for it. So I think there's people with good intentions, but how do you, and I'm thinking about this even with the DACA and the Dreamers and things like that. I mean, how do you give something that isn't really yours to give?
Well, but see, I'm looking at it from this other perspective. I'm looking at it from, because I think that, you know, this is hard work. People are really sincere and they're working hard. And and I think what I'm saying is that I don't address all this so much because there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Exactly.
So it's like, how do we reconcile all this? It's not so it's not so cut and dry. It's not, you know, it's what's happened today is you've got the angels and the demons, you know, and both sides are calling the other side this or that, and then these people are kind of caught up in the middle of all this, and yet.
I feel bad because that's been allowed, but now you want to take something away. So, you know, that's conundrum or the real white elephant in the room. I mean, as long as we're at a point now, and you're right, it's where it's at, there should be something better done, but I don't know what that is.
But somebody's trying to work that out.
Yeah,
I think, you know?
But it's a tug of war. It's a tug of war with what I want.
So anyway, to go back to the history, you know, apart from that, because it's a
big problem.
Complicated. Well, it's complicated. It's not as simplistic as it seems. You know, everybody. I mean, every nation has a responsibility.
Right.
To protect its borders, to keep its citizens safe, to provide its citizens the means to progress, to grow, to be the pursuit of a life, liberty,
pursuit of happiness.
And happiness. Right? Yep. Of course, liberty. If it's what it's becoming, the free reign of the flesh, then we truly are. A teetering precariously.
Funny, a lot of those themes were teetering.
Well, because I've said it before, but when I hear people talk about American values, I say, well, what are we talking about? How do you define those values today? Because if we've pushed to the fringe of society, Judeo-Christianity, which is a good in and of itself. Flawed because there are flawed people, sinful people. Again, you know, to say sin is that I think that word's been taken out of the dictionary. You know,
you can't say it anymore.
This is we are a flawed people, but we're at the same time, God has deemed us worthy of. Participating in this holy enterprise, which is the building of civilization. It's a prelude to the full realization of God's kingdom. But it's done within the context of a spiritual battle because we have to make a choice between good and evil. We lean into the light or we stay in the dark. We become other-centered or we become self-centered. I don't know. Nick, should I take a break or should we just go on? We'll just keep going on? Take a break? Okay, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody, as we prepare to say goodbye, because it's the end of the hour. It's hard to believe. Anyway, I guess it goes back to this, you got to know history, you know, yeah. And if you don't, and what's happening today is, and I've said it, how many times have I said it, I think here on the radio as well, that one of the major problems of our day is this terrible disconnect. Mm-hmm. If you don't know where you've come from, can you really say you know who you are or where you're going? Because we're a body. We're not entities unto ourselves. We're in relationship, not one to another, not just one to another, but with a history. But with a history that has got, yes, good and bad, but good prevails. Mm-hmm. Good prevails. So it just seems like people want to drag us back into the bad. And I tell you, this is so contrary to Judeo-Christianity, where we talk about mercy and forgiveness and compassion. And, okay, let's, yes, we acknowledge, but my gosh, do we turn a blind eye or a deaf ear to the heroism, to the courage, to the sanctity of so many who allowed us to rise above the very thing that would divide and seek to destroy us? We haven't been destroyed. Those powers are ever present to want to, which was just contrary to who we claim to be, who we are. So anyway, I guess the bottom line is we get to, as I've said it before, lean into the light. Focus on the good. Our focus isn't Judas Iscariot, but the point of our person of reference is Jesus Christ. So,
always.
All right, everybody. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back someday. We don't know. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao, ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. Mm-hmm. words that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see?